Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. But it is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Won't you rejoice with me today? You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, city of sunshine, palm trees blowing in the wind. Yes, yes, and some very hot sunshine. Did you know that this is not summer anymore, considering, you know, according to the calendar, but yet and still, oh, it is very hot outside still, okay? That's Florida for you. Come on up, come on down, wherever you are, and enjoy it with us, the sunshine. Ah, so glad to be with you, you and you here today. Greetings from us here in our office here, our engineer, Diane McGross, and Deacon Mike, you know what I'm just saying, man, preacher man, yes, yes, we thank God for them being with us today, yes, indeed, God has blessed us to have somebody present with us, we thank God for them now. But you know what? We thank God for being just who he is, huh? That he thought it not robbery to allow us a few more days on this earth. Praise God. And with so much going and unfolding, I declare it's a blessing to still be here, isn't it? My God. So I want to thank God for it today, you know, for blessing me. Yes, and you know, giving me a reasonable portion of health and strength. You hear what I say? A reasonable portion of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because I have a few complaints sometimes with the old body, but you know what? We must go on. God is good, isn't he? Now, we have some people, yes, 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 that, oh, my God, so much is happening now, and if you're not praying, Lord, have mercy, you just lost, right? But we're going to pray for these few people that is on our list today, praise God, and some of them is quite serious, you know. Their conditions are quite serious, and we want you to help us pray too, okay? All right. We're praying for Tasha, who lives in Jacksonville, I believe. Her dad, they've diagnosed him with cancer. Okay, and so he's not doing well at this time, and we're going to pray for him. Father God, in Jesus' name, we send the word to Tasha's dad. We don't know his name, Father God, but we send the word to him right now that you touch and deliver him. In the mighty name of Jesus, touch her as she takes care of her dad. In the name of Jesus, give her the strength that she needs. Father, we also ask that you touch his wife who has dementia and not doing well either. So we ask you to touch her too, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. We ask you to God to touch, this is the, I think the young lady name is Marie, I'm not sure, Maria in Jacksonville. Also, they call her Tootie. She's in the hospital, and she has a lot of different things happening to her body and needs your help right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, we send the word to her right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, touch your body, touch your soul. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, have your way in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to touch Troy, God, who had surgery for blood clots, and is waiting for the results. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, we want the report to be good. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that the report be good, Father, that he's all clear, his lungs all clear, Father God. In the name of Jesus, have your way, right now. Father, we ask you to touch also Stephen Jr., Lord, who needs salvation and guidance, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to touch Daniil, Lord, who also needs you today at this hour, who's going through some great trials right this moment. Father, we ask you to reach out and touch her right now. Let her know that somebody, let her feel your presence today, that somebody is praying for her right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we consider it done. Lord, touch Leroy the Third, God, who's got a court date. Touch him right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, you made him, you know all about him. Work it out in his favor, Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord, touch Janelle, Lord, teenager, against the twins, Jamiah and Jamil. Lord God, we ask you to touch these two teenage girls that need help. Regulate their minds, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, you know the young people today, God, is just going berserk, you know. Father God, they have no rules, regulations that they follow but their own. Father, touch their minds right now. Save our youth, Lord. Save some of them anyway. Father God, we don't want to lose them all to the enemy. In Jesus' name we thank you. Lord, touch Karen Burns right now, Father God, who has gone for a cancer operation. She's going to get operated on for cancer also. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to touch them right now, Father. You made them. You know all about it. Touch their mind and their spirit also, God. Lord, that they'll reach out and touch you, Lord, at this hour, that this is the time to pray. If you don't know how to pray, this is the time to learn how to pray and call on your name. Oh, Father God, touch all the pastors that are going through it this hour, God. Touch them, Lord. Give them directions. Give them what they need to be doing at this hour, Lord, to survive and to keep holding on to your unchanging hand right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, touch our churches, God. Touch our ministries, Father, in Jesus' name. All those that are called by your name, God. All those that you called into that ministry, God, touch them right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, God, give them the mind to continue on and not give up at this hour. And we thank you for it today, God. We thank you for our families, God. Touch them, God, one by one, name by name. Touch our friends, Lord. Touch them. A young preacher there in the UK, Sydney. And God, we ask you to bless him in a special way at this moment. Lord, we ask you to touch our friend in Canada there. Touch him and his wife, Father God. Oh God, make a way out of nowhere for them for what they need at this hour also, God. Lord, we ask you to touch our dear member there in St. Thomas. Touch her right now and her family. In Jesus' name, Lord, show her where the airport is, Father. In the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, we long to see her. We're going to say like Paul, we long to see her, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. And we decree and declare it's going to be in Jesus' name today, God. Touch all our families, God. Families in the ministry, touch them. The radio listeners, touch them today, God. Name by name, the silent listeners, touch them, God. Oh, Father God, those that listen by other means, besides the telephone, God, we ask you to touch and deliver them. Whatever they need at this hour, God, I know that you will supply it because you promised, and your word is true, and we depend on that today, God. So many need you right now, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right, let me give you a word today from Abigail Van Buren. That's who this word is from. Wisdom doesn't automatically come with old age. Nothing does except wrinkles. It's true, some wines improve with age, but only if the grapes were good in the first place. Get that? I'm going to read this again. Wisdom doesn't automatically come with old age. Nothing does except wrinkles. It's true, some wines improve with age, but only if the grapes were good in the first place. Hey, hallelujah. Did you get that? Amen, hallelujah. Oh, that was so cute this morning. I thought it was very cute. You know, listen, why don't you call us at 347-857-3925. You know, give us a call and let us know, you know, what you think, how you think, what God is doing in your life. We are interested in what God is doing in your life because we're just praying and praying and praying. We like to know if he's moving in your life or you stagnant. Okay, this is what we'd like to know. And what can we do to help uplift you? You see what I'm saying? We want to lift you up, you know, where you should be at this time so that God can and you will have a praise report and a testimony of the goodness of the Lord, you know, because I know he's doing something. Yes, he is. He's doing something. You're still alive, aren't you? You're listening? Okay, I know you couldn't be dead. Amen, because dead can't hear nothing.
Come on now.
Oh, praise God. So while you're alive, call 347-857-3925. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what you believe God is going to do. And I don't want to talk about no political nothing. I only want to talk about Jesus Christ, you know, and him crucified and the Holy Ghost. And, you know, those are the things, and the anointing of the Lord, the glory of God. These are the things we want to talk about. So tell us what God has already done in your life, what you're looking for him to do in your life. You know, that's what we want to hear now. We don't want to hear nothing about what's going on with them political people. Okay? We'll just have to cut you off. Praise God. We don't want to be depressed. Hallelujah. We want to praise God, enjoy him, glorify him, magnify him. Do you get the picture here today? I hope you do. Praise God. Because we're going to talk a little bit about these here things we're going into. 2 Kings. We will start about 2 Kings and the 13th chapter. We going to talk about and let you know, what are we talking about, huh? And it's going to be talking about the anointing, you know. Mm-hmm, we'll talk a little bit about it. And it reads, and Elisha died, and they buried him. That's a likely thing, isn't it? And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it 21, and it came to pass as they were burying a man that behold they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived, stood up on his feet. Now, you know what I would like to know? Who was in there when this happened? Was the men that threw him in there, buried him in there, took him in there, cast him in there, whatever way you want to call it, they still was there? They must have been to report this. Huh? I believe, this is me now, remember what he said, they died, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land. Now, here we have the Moabites invading the land, right? And it say, came to pass as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. See, they spied some of the Moabites, probably, and what they do? Huh? They cast the man in the sepulchre of Elijah. Huh? Because they didn't want to see him, want them. He didn't want them to see him, them carrying his body, you know, probably going to make them dead too, right? Kill them too. So they decided to say, hey, you know, ain't going to be no let the dead bury the dead here today, Lord. So they threw him in there. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood up on his feet. Now that could be, what we say, that's a sight to the eye. But then the agnostic would say, what? Was he dead? Come on. Oh, that's not true. You know how these naysayers say today. When you talk about the things of the Bible and what God has already done, like the Red Sea and even down to the birth of Christ, they say that's nonsense. Ain't no such thing. Because, let me tell you, they can only talk about the carnal things because that's all they know. They don't know the things of God. See, so don't get mad with them because they don't know. Just shake your head and just say, Lord, help them, help them. You see, Lord, help them. Now, how would you believe about that situation? Do you believe that when they put the dead body, they say he was dead, and so they was burying him? That was the burial ground. And when it touched Elijah, the prophet's body. Now, can you imagine? Elijah was buried there. Now, nothing happened when they buried him, did it? There was no bodies in there for him to touch, for his body to touch, so nobody else came alive except this particular man. Now, what the man did afterward, I don't know. The Bible don't tell me what the man did after that. Was the man still alive? Was he? All I can say is this. What we would get out of a story like this is one thing. Now, how are you going to be buried? And what would be the testimony if another body touched your body? What would be that testimony, Would there be a testimony of saying they came alive because of the anointing on you? Or both of y'all would be end up in hell? Fire. Think about it. When I die, is anything, what's going to happen? I know you think about dying, and you know, and all of that. Everybody think about it. They always think. That's why you got it life insurance, isn't it? Because you're thinking about dying. Okay? When I die, who going to bury me? Where they going to bury me? What they going to bury me in? You don't know nothing about it, so don't worry about it. See? But Elijah was dead already, and then they put another dead man in, and this man came out. Now, you got to understand, you get set free. Was this man a captive? And he needed reviving because he did not know God? Maybe. There's a lot of maybes here. You see what I'm saying? See, because the Lord sets the captives free, right? And he sent us out to set captives free. He uses us to set people free. So think about it. Now, I'm just giving you a little thought, little things to think about today. Think about the fact is, say, now, hey, here this man died, and he touched Elijah. He revived and stood up. What happened here? Elijah was still working for the Lord, and here he is dead. He was a prophet all the way. You see what I'm saying? The man was a prophet all the way because in his bones was the anointing of God. When you are saturated with the Holy Spirit, honey, let me tell you, everything about you, the hairs on your head is anointed. Do you get the picture? Amen. When you put clothes on, your clothes will become anointed. Do you get that today? Because that anointing is so strong. You think about how the scripture said about the oil that ran down the beard of Aaron and all the way down to the hem of his garment. Saturated his garment, saturated him, the hairs on his head and his face and everything he had on. He was saturated with the anointing. This is what God said. And this is what God wants to do for us today, to saturate us, marinate us in oil, in his anointing oil. Do you see what I'm saying? Glory to God. I like that, don't you? I want to be fully anointed, you know, inside and out. I just don't want to be on top that it only lasts a little while, you know, but I want it inside, down, deep inside the marrow of my bones, that if anybody touch me, they're going to get something from the Lord. Now, I'm reminding of a lady that I knew, I don't know whether she's alive or dead or at this time, but this young lady, pardon me, she fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I ain't never did that. I ain't going to tell no lie on that. But she went, she said, I'm going to do it. She determined in her heart that she was going to do it, and she was doing a good job at doing it, but she told us after she finished, she said, by almost the last day, the devil entered her room where she was lying on her bed. Tried to do what? He tried to stop the process a day before that 40th day. Did you hear what I'm saying? And she said she had to fight through that day. She had the biggest fight was on just about the last day was the biggest fight she had for the whole 40 days. I say, Lord, have mercy. I said, look at the Lord. The Lord brought her through. But when Lord brought her through, let me tell you, the woman was saturated through and through with the anointing. Did you hear what I'm saying? I was working for a man that owned the Bible bookstore, and he told me, he said, let me tell you a testimony. And he told me about it. I said, yeah, I know her. I rent a room in their house, her and her husband's house. And he said she was standing up looking at some books in the bookstore. This is what he was telling me, in his bookstore. Now, I had been working for him and his wife and, you know, tending to his wife while he worked. And he came up, he had a cancer on his nose. He never seen her before, and he said he was working around in the store. He told me, he said God told him to go just put his hand on the lady. Just touch her. He went and touched that woman, and immediately the cancer dried up on his nose. Do you hear what I'm saying? This happened right in Miami, Florida. I'm telling you, on 38th Street. I don't forget that. The woman was so anointed, and she found out that she was that anointed. I guess she really didn't think about it too much at the time. But she went to church. She started going to churches. She just stand up in the floor and put her arms out and just let people come by and touch her. They was healed and delivered and set free. I'm talking about being saturated with the anointing. I saw this woman. I know this one. Now, I never went no 40 days and 40 nights, and God ain't told me nothing about doing it, and I'm not going to try it because God ain't told me. Oh, you can hurt yourself, kill yourself too. See? But she did it. See? Now, that's being saturated. You pay a price for that anointing. Huh? Now, don't think the devil didn't try the woman after then. He come up, people tried to steal it, and let me tell you, if I told you what happened during that time, I ain't going into that. That's too much, and that's too much information for you. That's all you need to know, that you can get there. See, Paul was like that. You know, Paul was, he was anointed inside and out with the power of God. Just like Elijah had enough anointing power in his bones to do what? To set somebody free from death. You have the power because what did he tell you? What did God tell you in over in Acts? Acts, the first chapter. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the utmost part of the earth. Wherever you go, you got the power. Huh? Thing is, you don't exercise your power. You don't want to use your power. Do you see what I'm saying? Huh? You want to play Tiddlywinks Church. You want to have a social establishment. Your church is a social gathering for people to party and dance and shout. And that's all you're looking for. You're not looking for something to happen in there. You're not looking for people to get healed and delivered in your church. Hmm? The church, and you get mad, you go to the church, and they don't have all this good music, the bum, bum, bum. They have the whole orchestra playing and everything. You know what? We had a good time with the rub board. You know, one of them little rub boards and a piece of, and a wire hanger? And one big drum. We didn't have a whole drum set. And we made a lot of noise, and we had organ. But that drum and that washboard, it kept something up in there. Made a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, if you don't have it today, they don't think about the anointing. And beside that, the anointing, let me tell you, you go to church and you won't be in church but maybe 30 minutes. How you know whether the anointing is there or not or going to come? Church ain't but 30 minutes. You, if the preacher goes a whole hour, you start fidgeting, looking at your watch, looking at your cell phone, answering texts. You start doing all these kind of things, and you'll never know what the anointing is about. Huh? And then you say, church ain't like, you know, church, ain't, well, it's kind of boring. That's why I don't go. I stay home. Well, what part did you play in it? You did not participate in what God asked you to come and do, worship him, glorify him, magnify his name, come expecting a miracle, come expecting a move of God. You ain't come there to see that. You just come to say you went to church. And you figure like that, if I went to church for them 30 minutes, God is obligated to bless me, pour his whatever I want on me, all the money and everything else I want, God going to give it to me. Because you heard that one word about prosperity, and you ain't think about no anointing. You ain't thinking about the power of God operating in your life. You're not thinking about being that witness that he told you when he gave you power to have, to do, to go witness into all the world and preach the gospel. You ain't hear about that, set the captive free. You didn't hear that part. You only heard the part of I can have houses, lands, and money, and honeys, and everything else. That's all you heard. And then you turn around, child, church just ain't church no more. I heard they used to have church, really have church. You can still have it if somebody paid the price. If we sacrifice and exercise your faith, believe God, let me tell you, if Elijah was dead and somebody got up, it came alive. Let's do this. Let's say this. Let's do this. If you're in a dead church, let's say you're in a dead church. You get in a dead church. Now Elijah's dead. Now remember that. You're in a dead church. Now why don't you be that body that's thrown up in there and bring it to, and it comes to life and see what kind of anointing it has. Touch it. Go touch that church and see. Get in there. And be in the midst of that body of believers that you feel like they dead. Somebody in there may be alive. Somebody may be able to touch you and bring you to life. And your mindset is changed. You don't think about everything is boring. You know how the young people say, boring. They so quick to say everything is boring. What are they looking for? Entertainment, because this is what you gave them was entertainment. You want to see a show going on all the time. I want to see a fabulous choir. I want to see a fabulous praise team that can get me to jump up and shout. See, you looking for the wrong thing. And when the man get up to preach, a woman get up to preach, you only want him to preach for 15 minutes because you're ready to go. And the other 15 minutes, he got to pump and prime you for some money. So where's the anointing? We got a bunch of dead bones, but there's no anointing to bring them to life, like the Bible also spoke about when the Lord asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And this is what we could ask you today. Can they live? Can they live? What would be your answer? Like he said, thou knowest, Lord. You know whether they can live or not. I don't. In other words, I don't know. Because I figure when you're dead, you're done. And the bones done dried up because the flesh gone. But let me tell you, he had a surprise when the Lord told him what to do with the bones. And what God is trying to tell you today, what you can do with the dry bones that's in your midst. He's letting you right now, you can speak to those dry bones. Do you hear what I'm saying? Talk to them bones. Oh, hallelujah. Think about every time you think about Paul and think about him, glory be to God, and how he was going to and fro and talking to people and raising the dead also while he was going. And you know, Jesus left us a good example of that. And when he told us, when he showed us that, he showed us that so we'll know that when I give you my power, you can do the same thing. You're not going to just leave it and say, well, Elijah bones did that. Well, your bones can do that too. Think about what Paul did with them clothes and handkerchiefs from his body. He pinned them all on the body, had them stick it on his body, so when somebody needed help, he just give them a handkerchief. Heal them, deliver them, broke the chains from off of them. It's the same spirit today. It's there for you, but you don't pay the price to have that spirit operating in your life. You don't allow the anointing to get into your life. You don't stay in church long enough. You don't seek him long enough. And praying just out of your vocabulary, isn't it? That word just don't is not in your mouth. Well, I pray. When? You, the only time you pray is just what you did, just did. I pray. That's your prayer time. I pray. But you don't get on your knees, you don't get on your face, or lay up on the floor or your bed or wherever you lay and just begin to call on the Lord and go. Just forget about the things that are all around you and become a prayer warrior. And then watch God begin to operate in your life and direct you to where he wants you to be and to go. See? Now, the power of God is waiting for you to touch somebody. Touch somebody yourself. Go out and touch somebody's life. Just talk to them. Touch them. Let me tell you, the devil got a whole lot of his imps out here on the work. He on the work release. Let's put him back in prison. Somebody let him out on work release, and he working on the saints. Now, he was bound up for a while now. He wasn't messing with too many saints because he couldn't get through the prayers. See? He could not break through the prayers of the righteous, that bloodline. He could not break through it until somebody opened up a door. It ain't real. You know, first thing somebody say, and then somebody else followed on with their nutty self. Sure ain't. Now, you've been believing all this time, then all of a sudden, because somebody you say you admire or some celebrity or somebody said something, and then you go up there and follow suit. Half of them, a whole bunch of them don't believe in God. They got their own God. And yet you still, let me tell you, God is so good to us. Let me tell you, my husband had a gift from the school where they gave him a gift, you know, and it was in, you know how they have to have a glass thing in the cellophane container, and it's in the middle of it. Well, it was a nice, it was a nice frame, let me tell you. And I didn't pay attention to it at first. I think it's, oh, this is so nice. It's nice and heavy and all this. And he was talking about putting a nice picture in it and everything. I said, yeah, I got all kind of pictures I put in there, you know. So I took it out and I said, let me show this to Diane. Diane, look at this. What you think? Now, I looked before. I didn't have too much lighting on around me to see all the engravings on it. You see what I'm saying? And she looked at it, she said, Pastor, did you really look at this? I said, well, not really. Let me see. Look on there, and guess who head was up there at the top of the frame was Satan. Did you hear me? Was Satan. See, you got to be ever so careful. She said, what you going to do with this? I said, I'm getting rid of this because he ain't going to be in my house. So to make sure he here, when he came home, I said, did you look at that frame you bought? He said, no, they gave it to me. I just got it and was so happy to have it. And I just say, here's something for you. And I never opened it. I said, well, here, look at it. He looked at it. He said, oh, God, no, no, this got to go. I ain't giving this to nobody. I said, no, the garbage man come today. Go out there and put it in the garbage. Huh? I don't want Satan nowhere around to interrupt my anointing. You see what I'm saying? You say, well, how would that interrupt your anointing, having that picture in there? I'm not representing Satan in no fashion. He don't have no room. I do not have a room set up for him. Okay? I didn't have a bed for him. I don't have a chair for him. There's not a place sitting at my table for no Satan. You hear me? Huh? Because I want that anointed power of God to be working when I need it to be working. Do you get the picture here today? Hmm? See? I don't want these dead bones. He ain't nothing but dead bones. He dead round already. He making a lot of mess amongst people's lives, and he already dead because he might as well be because that's where he's going. In the fire, he's going to be burning and burning and burning. You want to burn with it? Hmm? Or you want to get up and walk? You want to be counted among those that are sanctified? Hmm? You want to make a difference? Do you want to make a difference? Do you see what I'm saying? See, we got so many isms and schisms. We listen to everybody. We want to listen to everybody but who we supposed to listen to. And we do what? Always listen to the wrong person. A person that, tell me one thing. Hide somebody that don't go to church. No church in town going to tell you what. Your church ain't no good. Your church ain't no church. How do they know? They ain't been to nobody's church. And you listen to them, and you leave the church because they tell you, and then another one say, you ain't got to go to church all the time. Well, that's what's wrong with them, why they always up to mischief, in trouble, and all kind of things because they don't want to go to church. Where the anointing is, where the power of God can keep them free. Huh? That word comes in there to keep you free when that preacher's preaching, because God know your heart. He know where you are. He know the temptations that you are worried about with, and therefore he has a word for you when you come in there. You ain't coming. You come in, well, if 10 minutes he ain't give me now, 30 minutes he ain't give me now, 40 minutes he ain't give me now, I'm going. And you tip out, throw your little thing up and tip out the church. What did you get? Not a thing. Huh? You know, I come from a church way back there in New York when we get in the church. 2 o'clock in the morning when God showed up. That means half of the church done tipped out. You know what I say? The devil's done tipped out. Now we can have church. Huh? And when that's when people start getting saved and speaking in tongues, around 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, you know we had to go to work in the morning. I know I did. See? But it was so good to see God at work. I mean, the hour was late, but hey, when we was out in the nightclubs, we didn't mind going. We was just partying at 2 o'clock. blessing. So why not with Jesus? We say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You don't know how long the wait going to be. So you can sit in the midst in that atmosphere of the Holy Ghost, and he be moving from heart to heart and breath to breath in the midst of you. Can you just feel that? My God, just thinking about it, you know, I think about it how we used to just sit there and let that anointing just saturate us. Huh? And when you come out, it's like you've been up on the mountain like Moses was. You done been up there talking a little with God. You done been up there letting him saturate you. See, you see why Moses come down in his beard and everything was white? Huh? He done got whitewashed with the glory of God. Huh? Think about it. When you're in his presence, it makes a change. Change heart, change mind. What you think, you don't think no more. The way you look at people, you don't look at them the same way. You have a different mindset toward God. You want to be with him. You want to be in his presence, the presence of the people that is with God. You want to always be around the saints. Do you see what I'm saying? Because the glory of God changed you. Something changed when you waited upon him. The church service is so short these days, you can't wait on him, can you? And when you go home, you ain't going to do nothing but look at the TV. So there ain't no waiting on God. You ain't going to hear nothing God say because you're looking at the TV and it ain't the church channel. See? How can you get anything? See? How can the church show forth the glory of God? How can there be a great revival coming if you don't spend no time with it? You say, well, you sound like you fuss. Why do y'all always think it's fussing? I'm just giving you the facts of life. That's facts. That's a reality. You want to see a reality show? That's it. See? And what are you showing people? Oh, I'm a Christian. You love to say that, but there's no proof. Hmm? You know what they always say, the little cliche, proof is in the pudding. What kind of pudding you serving? Here. Hmm? Come on now. Come on, dead bones. It's time to get up and live. Come together. That's why Ezekiel said they came together. The bones of it. When he spoke to them, they stood at attention. They came together. And it's time for you dry bones out there to come together. Time for us church folks to come together, you preachers and teachers and apostles and whatever you want to call yourself. It's time for us to come together. That's all there is to it. I've been telling you that for years, but I know you think I'm a nut, but I'll be screwed to the right boat. That's all. I'll agree with you. I'm fanatical, almost fanatical about my Jesus. I've seen him done too much for me, and I am not going to double-cross him. I'm not going to cheat on him. Okay? I'm not going to cheat on God with you and nobody else. Hmm? Now, I didn't call a cheater, but I don't cheat on God. I stand fast on God. Huh? And listen here, and if you let me, I'll be true to you. There ain't no sense in lying because, you know, he said all liars going to be in the lake. So you can try to be a Christian all you want, but if you still up there lying, you're going to be in the lake of fire. That's where you going. I don't want to go with you. See? So I'm not going to be a cheater with you. I'm not going to play your game. You know how y'all like to play that Strawberry Crush or whatever the name of that game is. I don't know what the name, but Pink Crush or somebody, whatever it is. Y'all like to play that game all the time. I don't like that game. I don't want to play no crush. Crush what? Hmm? Let's crush them grapes now. Let's crush them grapes so you can drink of that good wine that Jesus talked about. Mm-hmm. That grape that caused the anointing to do what? Flow. Did you hear me? That caused the anointing to flow. Ain't that what you want? Huh? Huh? Yes, you do. So that you can be anointed. You're in your clothes. If so, you somebody wear your clothes, they anointed. Huh? See what I'm saying? They can wear your clothes, and your clothes will be anointed. That's just like me giving you a handkerchief. Somebody gave you a handkerchief. You have that anointing cloth on because it's been saturated with the Holy Ghost. That power is in that garment. You say the power really is in it? Of course, it transferred from your body in there. Now, if your bones are saturated, the flesh is outside of it is saturated. It ain't holy, but it's saturated with a power that can get something done to somebody else. All right. Well, you know, I'm gonna lay off talking because you know this is always good. Thinking about the anointing, thinking about the Holy Ghost, you know, moving today. How we want to see a move, and think about what can you do to help the move of God in your ministry, your church, where you are. Think about it, huh? Go over yourself and think about what have I not done to promote it? What have I not done? Have I been dry like them bones? I don't do anything. I'm just as nonchalant. I don't care whether it goes or not. So in other words, you're trying to tell God, God, I don't want to move. See you move. I don't see no miracles in my life. I don't see no miracles in my family life. That's what you're telling God when you don't want to see a move of God where you are in the church you're in, and you don't want to see a move of God there. You're not praying for it. You're not helping to promote it. You're not doing anything for it to happen. You're not witnessing, as the word told you in Acts there. You're not witnessing to them convincingly. Don't the Bible tell you compel them to come? Didn't that what he said? Now look in your dictionary and see what compel on your little phone or whatever you look. Look on your phone and see what compel mean. And he tells you to compel them to come. You got to be persuasive. Not playing with them. Well, yeah, no, I will think you on the come. But if you don't, if you don't. I ask you, do you have a church home? Well, if you get time sometimes, stop by. But do you go to your church? Now, if you don't go to your church and you don't think it's dead and everything else, you want to try something else, maybe a little livelier, then that's what you do. Huh? But if you don't belong to no church, you need to go somewhere and be belong there, because as soon as you die, somebody going to be trying to find a church to have your funeral in, and you ain't even walked in one when you was alive. But now somebody wants you preacher to preach something over to preach you into heaven, feel like they're going to preach to you now, and you don't hear it. You didn't walk in there when you had your life in you and your 2 feet. But now your family wants you to come to church now that you're dead. Ain't them dead bones? Do it make sense? I know. This is just real talk. I should have called this program Real Talk, huh? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I'm going to quit before I make some of you mad, you know. Oh, bless God. It's like this. That anointing is what you need today. You do need that anointing. So you can do anything, you need the anointing, all right? And I'm going to leave off right now and let our own Deacon Mike, where is he at? He's here. Praise God. And let him say something right quick.
You could have kept going. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for each and every one of you today. I thank the Lord for the apostle with that word about that anointing. And that, you know, that anointing comes over you, and that sweet spirit come over you, and it lifts you up, it takes you out. It does what it do. That's the only way I can explain it. But when it comes, you know it when it's there. You know, when you drip with that anointing, you'll know when it's there. It will make you feel so good. It'll make you flow. And you'll always want that feeling again. you know, you'll always want to keep that. And see, and that's the whole idea about it. You want to keep it. You don't want to lose the anointing when you get it. You want to keep it. You don't want to lose it. But, you know, the devil going to come in and he's going to try. That's his job. That's his job, is to come and get into your comfort zone and disrupt. That's the devil's job, is to disrupt. As the Bible says, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he takes you out of your spirit and takes you out of your rest and keeps you all confused, discombobulated, and all this, that's his job to do. But we got to stand tall and stand hard on the word of God. We got to keep in, we have to keep the anointing with us and keep the anointing, so therefore it keeps and it flows in our body. It flows all over our spirit. It flows to other people. That's what it's about. That when you walk around and you got that anointing on you, people can see that glow about you. There's no doubts about it that you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. When people see you, when people cross your path, they'll say, now there's a church person. And you ask them, how do they know? And you say, just look at them. There's something special about these people. See, that's where you want to be at. There's something special about you. You want to be special in the eyes of God. You want to be special to others also when they cross your path. You know, you might not have the touch, but you got the word. You might not have the word, but you might have the touch. You don't know what God has in store for you until you get out there and do it. Until you get out there and God and the Holy Spirit direct you. Then we'll know where we're going and how it's supposed to be done. And what takes place and what transpires. But I like that. I like the story there that the pastor said, when they throw the man down there and he touched Elijah's bones. And he was dead, and he came back alive. If I was there and seen that, I might have ran. You know, we see stuff like that, then we take off. Some of us want to find out how. Some of us want to be scientists and find out how is that possible. Because that's what a lot of scientists and things do. And as the apostle said, the agnostics, whatever you want to call them people, they want to find out that, did this really happen? Mm-hmm. They want to investigate now and find out, did this really happen? Or how could this be? Or they'll say the man was never dead. But if they carried that man and that man was dead, they were looking for a place to bury that man, and they carried that man. That man never came alive then when they was walking with him. Mm-hmm. Till they seen the Moabites and they know the Moabites was chopping up people and all of that there. They was a wicked people. So they had to hurry up and bury him. So they buried him in the sepulchre where Elijah was at. And then the man got up. You know, I want to know what he said to him when he got up. That would be awesome if we find out what he said. Did he say hello? Well, thank you, Jesus. You know. What did he say? You know, but, you know, these are some of the mysteries we need to find out. All we got to do is ask God about it. He'll tell us. You know, that's all we got to do. Ask him. He'll tell you. Seek him and you shall find. That's all you got to do. That's all of us has to do once we get involved. But the point of the matter is we need to get involved. You need to get involved in your church. You need to get involved. That's what it's all about. You need to get involved. Then you'll see these things if you're involved, if you're in there. So all I can say is get to your good Bible-based church or come with us. I ain't ashamed to tell it. Come with us. Right. The City of Victory, 31325 County Road 437, Sorrento, Florida. Plymouth Sorrento Road, which is also known as 437. So just come on by. Sundays at 1 p.m., Tuesdays at 6. Just come on by. You know, hey, you know, we have a good time in the Lord. We have a good time with the Word of God. Then that's what we do. We have a good time. We have a good time discussing the Word. That's the way it's supposed to be, but that's how you learn. Asking questions, getting feedback always, and that's how you learn the Word of God. Now, if you want the anointing to flow on you, you've got to be able to understand what the anointing is. Some people don't know what the anointing is. Some people don't know what the Holy Ghost is. You know, so we need to educate these people on a lot of things that they don't understand about God. You know, a lot of people just don't know. All they know is God is. You know, but hey, what can we say? At least some of them got that far, you know. So I just want to thank God today, and I want to thank God for each and every one of you that's been listening, and I will pass it over here to the engineer, Sister Diane.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I tell you, that is an awesome word from Apostle Porter and Deacon Michael. The anointing, remember, the anointing destroy all yokes. Okay, trust and believe that you serve a mighty, mighty God. And he gave us that power. You say, what? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So, do you have that anointing power yet? When it come over you, they know it's over you. When you walk into the church, they can feel the anointing. I tell you. But you know what? As Deacon Michael was telling you all, just come on over at the City of Victory. You're looking for ordinary church? Don't come to the City of Victory. We're not ordinary. We enjoy ourselves in the Lord. In the Lord, we allow the Holy Spirit to move up in there. So you know what? Every Sunday at 1 p.m., come on out and enjoy service with us. We don't entertain you. You come expecting the move of God, expecting that when it is you're going through something, that God is going to move for you. If you want to be selfish and just think about what you're going through and you need a prayer answer, you need something from God, come expecting. Come expecting. You might never know what's going to happen during that time. So you know what? Join us every Sunday at 1 o'clock, and that address is 31325 CR437, also known as Plymouth Sorrento Road, Sorrento, Florida, 32776. That's right across from the Sorrento Library. And on Tuesday night, we have Bible Talk at 6 p.m. So come on out, enjoy it with us. So you tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio. That calling number is 347-857-3925. That's 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. You can also tune into blogtalkradio.com/timetotalkaboutit and listen to each and every segment that Apostle Porter has put out there. Every Friday night at 11 p.m., we have the Wailing Walls Prayer Line, hosted by our very own Elder Whitted. That calling number is 218-548-6746, code 3333#. That's 218-548-6746, code 3333#. That's every Friday night at 11 p.m. So come on, let's tear the devil kingdom down and take back everything that we have allowed the enemy to steal from us. Every Monday at 3 p.m., we have Deacon Michael with I'm Just Saying. That calling number is 917-889-2211. That's 917-889-2211. Also, we are doing our Thanksgiving drive. You can send your donations to P.O. Box 2228, Apopka, Florida, 32704. That's P.O. Box 2228, Apopka, Florida 32704. No donation is too small or too great. So come on and let a family enjoy their Thanksgiving as you intend to enjoy yours. Till then, be blessed.
On my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. Then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying,
I stop worrying,
worrying how the story ends.
When I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his
way. That's when things
start happening.
Struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle. It's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, that everything would be alright. Yeah. God, my sister, you can't handle it. Let God, oh, let go.